Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by Gardex. Industry-leading automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. To find out more, visit gardexgroup.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. It's me, Mike Brewer. Sitting beside me as ever on the road is my wingman, Mr. Andy J.
Greetings, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm all right, not bad at all. Guess who's in the back seat?
I'm always in the back seat.
She's always in the back seat. It's Michelle. I'm very excited this week because we've got a great guest coming up. But before we do have a great guest coming up, let's just tell you a little bit about some people who have been making comments on our show, Andy.
Do you know what? I think there's a comment in particular that I think we should use because it's quite relevant to our guest. You say hello to him, Mike.
Hello.
By the way, you notice that we're keeping the suspense, despite the fact that anybody listening to this pod will already know who it is because it's written on their phone.
That is very, very true. Yes, we'll get to Pete Weeks in a minute. But hello to hello to One Eye Pirate, 1979. I hope that's the year he was born. One Eye Pirate.
Wow.
I've got to find out what a tenuous link to Pete is now.
Because he's Pirate Pete.
Yeah. Pirate Pete.
Yeah. One-Eyed Pirate, 1979. He says he's watched me on TV since the very first Wheeler Dealers 20 years ago. Good lad. Oh. And the pod is just brilliant to listen to. Thank you very, very much, One-Eyed Pete. And if you want to leave your reviews for us, please do. We could read them out online. You can find us on all forms of social media. Right, our guest this week is a man who's made himself famous for doing reality TV back in the early days. But now he's fresh from his own reality podcast, if you like, with his wingman. Let me just tell you who his wingman is. His wingman comes from Made in Chelsea. It's like a match made in heaven, isn't it?
It's from Towie, which
is the only way is Essex. Mm-hmm. And then he's got a bromance going on with a guy from Made in Chelsea.
Yeah.
So they've basically...
How did that happen?
Did they actually cross a river to meet each other? They did, didn't they? So have you come from Essex? Do you cross the river to get to Chelsea?
Just sort of drive along it, yeah.
You drive along
it, don't you? Just drive along the river.
In fact, he's fresh from doing his own podcast, Staying Relevant with Sam Thompson. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to our studio, Pete Whitt.
Yay! Round of applause. Love that.
Hey, nice.
Love that.
Isn't
I love that little ego boost before we start.
Yeah.
You are quite possibly one of the most handsome men we've had in here. We did have Dave Gandy sitting in here.
We did. Right,
I mean, there's no way that I can compete with Dave Gandy.
No, honestly, you're a really handsome man. We had to peel Michelle off her seat after Dave Gandy.
I can imagine.
Honestly, Michelle's face then was like, what are you saying?
We did have to peel her off her seat. It was like,
what?
Michelle, you're drooling.
He's a beautiful guy.
He is a beautiful guy, but you're quite a bloody handsome fella yourself. So tell me, first and foremost, let's dive straight in with your own podcast with Sam.
Yes. Sam and I have been doing that for a little while now, and it's basically, we met on a show about 6 years ago. We complete different ends of the scale. I originally from East London, moved out to Essex, come from a very working class background, and he is loaded. Pretty much got a trust fund.
You've lost your accent.
Wow.
Mate, he's gone. Yeah, I know. Everyone says that to me.
He's pretty much loaded. He has a trust fund.
He's got a trust fund. So I'm partly working with him to
Rubs off.
Well, things don't work out for him and something terrible happens. I may be part of that. I'm hoping to be part of the will. But yeah, we met about 6 years ago. go on the show, and we just get on very well. He's like the brother I never wanted. It's a love-hate relationship. He loves me, I hate him, and that's pretty much how it goes. So
it does sound like that most
yeah,
of the time.
Yeah, no, he's like the brother, literally, I never wanted. He just follows me around, just fucking pecking at me. But no, he's a good guy, really. So
he
yeah,
needs you.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but yeah. I need him as yeah, well, because, yeah. you know, I'm otherwise quite a miserable person. So he brings a little bit of joy to my life yeah. based on the fact that when I see him, I think, my life is actually better than that. So yes, it works out quite well.
So tell us a little
bit
about your...
Sam.
let's find out a little bit about the podcast. Tell us about it.
Well, Sam and I started in reality TV a long time ago, like 9-10 years ago, and when it was a completely different kind of world to what it is now. Every man and his dog's on TV now. So it's basically us trying to carve a career out of being Z-list nobodies with no talent. That's effectively what it is. So we just discuss all things to do with, you know, silly things that happen to us and times where we thought we should really have a proper job, and instead we are just bumming around trying to make a living out of being nobodies.
It's mostly the two of you taking the mick out of each other.
Yeah, it's mostly us just digging each other out.
It's self-deprivating. But I love
it. It's great. It's a great list.
I love it.
Too many people in kind of TV and that kind of industry, I think, can't laugh at themselves. And actually, you know, that's the beautiful thing in life is laughing about yourself and, you know, laughing about other people in a nice way. Sometimes it's not that nice, but mostly in a nice way.
But you're basically looking at people that are trying to be that new Z-list celebrity and climb up that ladder.
Exactly.
And taking them apart.
Why does no one want a career anymore? Mm. Why do people just want to be on TV?
Yeah, you ask a kid in school, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to be on X Factor.
Yeah, exactly.
Or YouTube. I want to be a YouTuber.
Exactly. And that's become a career now, where it never used to kind of be a thing, did it? But that's all anyone kind of wants to do, because they see everything on social media and think it's all, you know, rainbows and unicorns. And actually,
which it is, of course.
Of course it is. Yeah, listen, we're very lucky to do the things we do, but that is, and I'm not entirely sure why we still do it, because neither of us are particularly interesting. So it's very weird. Yeah.
But glad you could come, Pete. Thanks for that.
Yeah, so thanks, guys.
The Wheeler Dealer Podcast. You unsold yourself on this podcast really, really well.
Well, I'm just waiting for you to build me up, Mike.
Well, mate, I'll give you
Let's have another round of applause, shall we?
Let's give you another massive introduction then and build you up a little bit to talk about how it all happened for you. So you were in The Only Way is Essex.
Yes.
In fact, I think almost everyone who's beautiful in Essex has been in The Only Way is Essex.
Yeah, pretty much
so
everyone.
So how does that happen? Does somebody who's in it say, oh, I know my mate Pete, he'd be brilliant at putting in this? Is it like
that?
Is it word of mouth, or do you actually go and audition for a role in it?
No, I've got a really mad story about it. I actually had a real job and a proper career before I did TV. So I was an international sales director for a medical recruitment company that supplied consultant doctors to the NHS and across the world. So, you know,
well,
I've offices in different countries. Yeah, it was a really good job. That's why I left it, because that was an actual career.
Yeah.
And then I was working in the city doing 16, 17-hour days for a long period of time. I didn't look like this. I looked a little bit more presentable.
Short hair.
Not like I had a short hair, suits, you know, tattoos weren't all over my hands and neck and all that sort of stuff. I sort of semi-looked like you'd take me home to your mum, not like I just woke up in a wheelie bin like I do now. And in the end, I just wanted a bit of a change. My friend was already doing The Only Way is Essex. I've never seen it. I've never watched any reality TV. I've never watched Love Island, never watched any of them sort of shows. I don't actually like reality TV. I think it's a load of b****s. However, I just kind of fell into it. And then you just get so many amazing experiences that you would never get a chance to do. I mean, I've done some amazing stuff because of it. So quality of life is better doing this. Than doing that, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you fell into The Only Way is Essex.
Completely fell in, face first.
And you, face first, so through a friend, as you say. I said, how'd you get into it? Yeah. You got into it. It's who you know. You fell into it through a friend. Tell me some of the most amazing things that happened to you during that period of time.
I mean, the original show, I would lock to that show because I wouldn't do a lot of things that I do now. But in terms of amazing experiences for that, not many. But since then, I mean, I did Bear Grylls, the island, spent a month on a desert island in Panama, which is just, when would you ever get a chance to do that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
With some amazing people as well, like, that you would never, like a geezer like me would never spend time on a desert island with Martin Kemp and James Cracknell and Joe Wood telling you stories about touring with the Rolling Stones and stuff. And you just
How are you swapping back? Like, when they're like, oh, well, there was this time when I was walking down the Essex High Street.
I was in Sugar Hut, yeah. Right? And
I've got a kebab in Jigwell once.
We had Eric Roberts, who's like Julia Roberts' brother, who's like been in some of the biggest films in Hollywood, like Golden Globe nominee, and I'm on a desert island.
Erin Brockovich's
That's exactly it. Like rubbing in like antiseptic cream into his legs, thinking, tell me some more stories, Eric. Do you know what I mean? It was just, you know, sometimes when you just have like an out of body experience and you think, what am I doing? It's just given me so many different things. I did MasterChef. That was an experience. I can't cook. But getting to meet John and Greg, great. Enjoyed that.
How many rounds did you get through? Not many.
Quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals. So you can cook a bit.
No, what I did during my experience with MasterChef was I supplied a drink with everything that I gave them. Quite a heavy, so I was fermenting my own vodka. Nice. For me, get
clever.
Someone pissed and they can't really taste anything.
That was
kind of how I got through that. Did SAS, Who Dares Wins, a couple of years ago.
Which is savage.
Well, it was for me. I knocked myself unconscious in the ocean and broke three ribs.
Wow.
It wasn't ideal for me.
Don't mean to laugh, but that's...
Really unusual. Don't jump out of helicopters into the ocean is just a word of advice for anyone. Don't.
Which is a shame, because that's how all new reality series start.
They do.
I mean, even Gordon Ramsay's cooking show starts out of a helicopter.
I've just watched a bit of that. Isn't it? Yeah.
What a way to start. I mean, have we not spent enough budget this year? I'll tell you what, let's get a helicopter and a show. What's that got to do with cooking?
No, but I would love to see Nigella Lawson do it. You know what I mean? Just jumping headfirst out of a helicopter straight into
a chocolate bar.
So how do you look back at your life now in The Only Way as Essex? Because although you knock it, it has given you life that you now lead.
Open doors.
Yeah, completely. I owe an awful lot to the show in terms of the fact that it's something I'd never done before, having not seen reality TV or watched any of it, and I've never watched myself on TV either. I think I owe a lot to it in terms of how fortunate I am now. But as a kind of, is it something that I'm proud of? Probably not. Because it is just sort of car crash TV, isn't it? It's not something I would personally want to watch. I do understand why people do, because it's a break away from, it's easy watching, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get to kind of voyeur, look at other people's kind of lives.
I'm actually going to turn that around on its head. I think you should be proud of it, because being proud of doing a programme like that that's put you in this position has now meant that you've got a voice out there, and your voice you're using at good cause, particularly when it comes to animal rights.
Yeah, animals are my... I love animals. Always
and nobody would have cared about Pete Wicks.
That's very true, actually.
Yeah.
And what you were going to say about cats and dogs, nobody would have given monkeys about it, if you pardon the pun. Nobody would have cared about monkeys about it unless you were Pete Wicks, the bloke that, you know, was in Towie.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think sometimes you do things not knowing where you're going to end up or why you're doing it. And actually, on reflection now, it's something that, at the time, I never really understood how I've ended up doing what I do now, because everything that I do is about being me. So I don't see that as a talent or as a career. That's just being you.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate enough that for some reason that's become my job, is just kind of being yourself. But it has opened doors for me to be able to try and do some sort of good and use a platform for the voiceless. So the animals. So I've done a lot of stuff. I went to Korea and shut down dog meat farms, and I've been in Finland and done stuff on fur farms, and spoke at Parliament, and I do a lot of bits and bobs when it comes to animals, because I'm able to raise awareness for that sort of stuff. So yeah, I'm very fortunate. So actually, that's a really good point. And it's actually made me feel a lot better about my life. Well done, Mike.
There you go.
Yeah, well, really done.
That's the point of the podcast, is it? To make people feel joyous.
Yeah.
And I think what you've done for animal rights is amazing. You know, not I get to stand up in Parliament a couple of times a year, and I get to speak about motoring issues. But to have a chance to go there and speak about animal rights and campaign for animal rights is a bloody privilege. You know, it's an immense privilege. So you put yourself in a position to do that. What was that like, standing there and giving your voice?
Mental. Really
crazy,
weird.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Because, you know, last time I was there, it was on a campaign called Fur Free Britain, which is about the sale and use of fur in the UK and trying to ban it and all that sort of stuff. So you kind of go into these rooms and you're speaking to a load of MPs and people, and they're obviously looking at me. I'm covered in tattoos, got long hair. You know, even if I put a suit on, it looks like I'm going to court. you know what I mean? So
it's a speeding fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Some people think I'm on some sort of offence. And sometimes you do have to pinch yourself in terms of the fact that why would anyone listen to me. But that's why I've been to Finland on the fur farms. That's why I made a conscious decision to go to South Korea and see the dog meat farms, is because actually if you're going to speak about something, you need to have some sort of knowledge behind it. You know, when it comes to anything to do with animal rights and animal welfare, everyone sees and hears all these horrendous things and they see videos online. They go, oh, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it. It's awful. It's awful. If you don't see it and you don't spend the time looking at that, then you're never going to do anything about it.
No.
Burying your head in the sand doesn't do anything. So,
but it was heartbreaking to go to those places.
One of the most horrendous things I've ever done with the dog meat farms. It was just awful, mate, because it's not so much the visual, it's the sound.
Oh, God.
It's just like you just hit a wall of suffering that you can just hear, and it's heartbreaking. And I think if more people experience that, it would change their tune. I'm not one of them that, you know, you shouldn't eat meat and do all that.
It's not a big dish here in the UK anyway.
No, no.
Most of us are on your side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. And the problem, I think, a lot of, we were sort of discussing it before, like that, you know, vegans and people that are along them lines are, is that they try and pummel everything down people's throats. If you tell someone what to do, they're not going to do it. Mm. If you educate people enough where they understand what the processes behind things are, it's down to you to make a conscious decision. Yeah. But as long as you are aware of what it is, then you can at least be happy knowing that, you know, that's what I'm happy to do. And I think more people need to just hear about what goes on when it comes to animal welfare, not just in different countries, but more so in this country as well, and then make a conscious decision on how they want to live their life. If you just bury your head in the sand, then you just don't know, and ignorance isn't always bliss.
Well, what a beautiful thing to say. Well done you, it's brilliant. But your campaigning doesn't only stop at the pets and the dogs and the animal trade, it also goes all the way down to breast cancer as well. You've decided to go and walk up Mont Blanc, which you can't walk up. You have to scale that and climb it.
Yeah.
Mont Blanc. But you've decided to go for a little bit of a trek up Mont Blanc to raise awareness for breast cancer as well. I mean, are you just constantly trying to do good in the world? You're making us feel like crap humans, isn't it?
No, do you know what?
Thanks for that, Pete.
Yeah, thanks.
I did a podcast. I had a podcast a few years ago called Just a Little Prick, which was based on tattoos.
Yeah.
And we had a lady
not on
called
Sam.
No. That would be just an even littler prick. But we had an amazing lady called Chris Hanninger, who is the founder of a charity called Copperfill, and she came on because she had a tattoo where her breast was removed, and it was a tightrope walker, and it was you know, we spoke about this story, and they do all these amazing treks and different things, and cancer affects, I think, is 1 in 2 people in the UK. Breast cancer is not just for women. There's a lot of men that are affected by breast cancer as well. And I always said to her, listen, I'd love to be involved in that. So last year I did 100 kilometres through the Sahara with an amazing group of people, some of which were suffering with breast cancer, survivors of breast cancer, some of which are terminal, stage 4. And we got through Sahara, and I've signed up to do Mont Blanc again this year. And I think it'll be an ongoing thing, just purely because, again, in terms of raising awareness and raising funds, vital funds to help people who are suffering with breast cancer, and not just breast cancer, but all forms of cancer, really. But also it's an opportunity to kind of humble yourself. It's not completely selfless. And, you know, everyone sort of says, oh, I'm a good person, but it's not always selfless. You kind of do that because it gives you a reality bite to understand how fortunate and lucky, you know, some of us are. And there are so many inspirational and amazing people that you spend time with who are just full of life and so happy, and it kind of puts things into perspective. So I absolutely love doing it, and it's for a good cause.
What a good man.
Wow.
I mean, I was going to talk to you about what happens when you Google your name, but we've gone a bit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's always a bad one. If you want to go down that route, let's just leave it there, shall we?
Thank you for listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast, brought to you by the Gardex Group. Gardex offer a range of award-winning automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. Whether you're buying your next car or you're an automotive dealer, look no further. Go with Gardex. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast.
Right, welcome back to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. You've got a TV show coming, haven't you?
I've got all sorts of things going on with me.
When are we going to see you next on the box?
I don't think I can tell you yet.
I've just done a brand
new show that's going to be coming out.
Is it a helicopter based cooking show?
Is it cars?
It would be amazing. Do you know what?
Bikes.
I would love to do. Dying to do a bike show. Dying to do it.
You've got a big Harley trip coming up, haven't you?
It's really.
Is there enough hours in the day?
June. Do you know what? I don't sleep. That's why I look like this. I'm only 17.
Tell us about your love of bikes. Come on, let's get to this podcast is all meant to be things automotive.
We've got rid of all that.
A single car or a bike?
Is this a bike with an engine or a pedal bike?
Oh no, not pedal bikes. No, I don't.
That'd be fun.
I don't look good in lycra. Cycling.
Really?
We have Jeremy Vines do that for us, don't we? So come on in, tell us about your love of bikes.
So do you know what? It started with cars really for me, and then bikes. My dad used to love bikes. So I used to go on the back of my dad's bike when I was a kid. My mum always tells stories of how he used to have an old Norton Commando that he took apart and then put together again in the front room and all that sort of stuff. My mum always said to me, listen, I don't ever want you to ride a bike, because my dad had a really bad accident before I was born. He was in a coma for nearly 18 months.
Wow.
It was a really
big
story, for family and stuff like that. And when he woke up, he couldn't remember who he was and didn't remember my mum, and they fell in love twice, and then he got his complete memory back. It's like one of them unbelievable stories.
What a story.
Yeah, so she always said to me, listen, I don't want you to ever ride a bike. So I was always like, and you know, you like when you're a bit younger and you go out and you make scramblers and you don't tell mum and all that sort of stuff. And then when I hit 30, I was like,
she's got to know. It's time. She's ready.
I'm going to do it. So I did. And now I spend most of my time on bikes rather than cars. But I did love cars before that. I had a bit of a car obsession.
Let's go to your first car.
It's a Renault Clio Extreme, which I wrote off before I passed my test.
I just think it's funny that Renault had a Clio and they could call it the Extreme.
But do you know why it was Extreme?
What extreme of crapness?
It was a 1.2 awful Renault Clio in blue. They called it the Extreme because it said Extreme on the back and it had turquoise lining on the seats.
Turquoise.
That's extreme.
That is extreme.
How did you write it off before you passed your test? Was it while you were learning or was it on a naughty?
No, it was on a naughty. Right. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
Right.
Maybe leave that one.
Move on quickly.
Yeah. But yeah, and then I had a 206 GTI.
Oh, nice.
Suede seats, really.
Yeah, nice.
That.
Alcantara, if you call that.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Fake Alcantara.
Neon underlights and a great big spoiler on the back.
Really?
Yeah, wow.
Lexus lights on the front.
Couldn't do that now with speed bumps.
No, I couldn't do it now. And then what did I have? I had a compressor.
Mercedes compressor.
A little hairdresser.
Yeah.
You know, the little hatchbacky one. Yeah.
Boy about town. Proper Essex boys car.
It was proper. But I was living in London at the time, actually, when I had that. And it was...
In your suit? Were you in your suit?
No. The suit, we moved on from that one. That was just because it was like, I've got a Mercedes. You know, then it's all about the key ring. You used to go out and put the key ring on the side there. Because that was a pretty crap car, but it was a Mercedes, and it was all I could afford at the time. So I was like, that's my entry level into that. I don't come from this. I've always bought these cars, and been so proud of the fact that I could, you know, try and upgrade your car and all that sort of stuff. Then I had an A4 convertible.
Nice.
Which loved, very boring. Very boring.
Dull cars.
Audis, great cars, but they are so boring.
They're just dull.
Yeah.
Nice interiors.
Yeah, nice interiors.
isn't it?
Always start.
Audis do great interiors, but they are just numb.
Yeah, it's a box. It's a very steady, sturdy box.
Yeah, it's not exciting.
No, not exciting.
So what was the exciting one?
C63.
Yeah, nice. Okay, that was a little bit of an animal. Points on your license.
Yes.
When the C63 comes along, points on the license.
Yes. Yeah. That was serious. Yeah, that was a serious motor. Great fun to drive, but an absolute, just a disastrous car. Really, for a young person to be driving that was just wild. I mean, I'm pretty sure my insurance was like about $4,500 a year or something, like $5,000 at the time.
Wow.
Absolutely ridiculous.
First motorbike.
I've still got it now. I've got a Triumph Bonneville Scrambler.
Oh, lovely.
Nice.
Really beautiful bike, aero exhaust on it, really thumper, all matte black with a tan seat. Really love that bike.
I love that.
Do you know what? The reason that I got that bike was because, and this is going to sound really peddish, that's not a word, but I'm going to make it a word. David Beckham did a trip to the Amazon.
Yes, it does.
Yes. Yeah. And it's the exact, and I always loved Triumphs because it's British, do you know what I mean? Just loved them.
Yeah.
But I actually got the bike modelled exactly on the bike that he had, not because of the trip or it being David Beckham, but I saw this bike and it was all matte black with the aero exhaust and this tan seat, and I thought, that looks stunning. Mm. So I basically have
You've
one done.
You've just made a marketing exec's dream there.
Yeah.
Somebody will have put him on
it's
that
like
bike.
Me, it's like listening, trying years to later, I've got an obsession it. Over a bobber. I just want a bobber in my life.
Yeah. Do you ride bikes?
I do ride bikes. Yeah. I'd love a bobber. I just think they're lovely.
I do a lot of Harley now. My dream bike is a 79 Shovelhead.
Yeah,
proper kickstart. But I'm not mechanically minded.
Yeah,
so I am useless when it comes to fixing anything to do with cars or bikes. Yeah. Absolutely useless.
So, are you then? Well, I can probably guess this by what you just said. You're not a lay on bike. You're a sit on bike.
Yeah. I'm not interested in super bikes and I'm not interested in all that sort of stuff. You know, I've been on R1s and Hayabusas and stuff and absolutely just petrified. Petrified. I'm not interested in cars. I like speed.
Yeah.
Bikes. I like the
cruising.
Yeah. You're about to get something new on you. And haven't you just had a car nicked as well?
Yeah. So I currently don't have a car.
Right. What was it that was taken?
It was Range Rover.
Of course it was.
It's Essex.
Yeah. Well, basically, I had one pre, because I've got dogs. So, you know, I thought I needed something for the dogs. And whatever you say about Ranger, they're a very comfortable car.
They're very comfortable. Yeah.
And then I got rid of that and then went into my dream car, which is 911. I'm obsessed with Porsches. That's my dream cars.
Man after my own heart.
Yeah. So yeah. Porsche, that's my dream car. 356 Speeder is my dream car.
Yeah.
Dream car. I've actually got a funny story about breaking one of them. Basically, because of the dogs and I moved back out further out to Essex, I needed something for the dogs again. So I got rid of the 911 and then got a Range Rover again. And within 2 months, it was nicked.
From where you live, was it?
Because I have all the bikes in the garage, so I just used to leave it on the drive.
Yeah.
Just straight gone within...
I was filming in Essex. I can't remember what car it was on Wheeler Dealers. And I was filming and the crew are up the road with a camera on the side of the road. And I'm on a walkie-talkie and they go, okay, Mike, ready, drive past the camera. And I go, okay, there's 6 Range Rovers, a Bentley GT, a Porsche Cayenne, another Range Rover, and then I'm the car behind.
Yeah.
I'm the Rover P5B behind.
Yeah.
And that was generally, and then they'd say, okay, Mike, turn around, come back the other way. Okay, it's a Bentley Bentayga, 2 Bentleys, GTs, there's 5 Range Rovers, there's an Aston ladies Martin driving. DBX. And
was it ladies driving?
All ladies. I'm the car behind.
Yeah, I always say Essex is full of some of the nicest cars driven by people.
It's lovely. It's
nothing
like,
about cars or how to drive.
It's a moving car show.
Yeah, it's absolutely mental.
Yeah, it is a moving car show.
Yeah, it is 100% full of that. Range Rover is such a Essex type of car to drive. Yeah, so and I've just not replaced my car since because I don't drive anymore. I was doing about 1,000 miles a year.
So what happens to the dogs? You can't fit them on the bike?
Well, now, because I've moved a little bit closer to my mum who lives around the corner, I just get her to take them.
Mum's
it.
It's her problem.
Yeah, it's her problem. Oh. And Uber. I use Uber all the time and I use it, you know. When
I can't, mum. My car's been nicked.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I'm in the process of thinking, do I now just wait until I get my real dream car?
Which is?
Singapore Porsche.
Well, you're on the back of the list. You're behind me on that list. I've spoke to Rob and I have told Rob that I am willing to donate for any kind of scientific means, any nuts he wants. He can have any of them. And I know that they're worthless. They're shriveled up now. They look like two raisins. But he can have any single one he wants as long as he can put... I've not even said I want a discount. Just put me on the list.
That's a story,
for a single Porsche.
Yeah. Yes.
Rob looks at me and he says, go away, boy. You're at the back of a very long list.
Have you actually touched one and opened the door?
This is a guy who...
I went to Goodwood Festival last year.
Friend of mine is the test driver for them, Marino Franchitti.
In America.
Mate, he says it's one of his dream jobs. I mean, Marino's a great racing driver, but his day job is to... tune up the Singer Porsches. Oh. Mm. It's like literally this one needs a bit more of that and try that. And imagine that. Those cars, they are gorgeous. Well, are you on the list? Have you put a deposit down?
No, that lightweight study
is long.
At Pebble Beach, I stood at lightweight study, walked in with Michelle, white car, tan leather interior, doors were open. I walked up, Rob was standing there together with little Tony Brackley and some other people. I walked up, you stood me at the car, and I swear to God, people walked off for 5 hours, then came back, and guess where I was?
Still
staring at the car.
Yeah.
I just couldn't move away from the car. I was like, this is the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life.
Being Rob from Singer Porsche.
Yes, he owns it. Yeah.
Porsche have always been, I think, styling-wise, and just as where I've had a couple of luck and driven, I just think, for me, it's my...
Oh, yes, just the ultimate. The ultimate.
When you see them on the road, and I've only seen them on the road twice, but both occasions it's been like...
But I
just want to follow it.
Yeah, but that's £700,000 now.
Starting.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And even
you have to supply the 964 for them to do it with.
Yeah.
You have to go and get the car, give it to them for them to pull it apart, reimagine it, and give it back to you.
But that's why it's a dream car, because it's something I'm never going to be able to afford to be able to do. Yes, I mean, you've got to have real.
Of course,
money to be able to go and do that sort of stuff.
You can find close to that, though. You can find a lot closer to that for a lot less money.
Yeah.
People that will make you a Singer-esque kind of style Porsche for a lot less money.
But you want...
You'd go to Tuthill, couldn't you?
One of them. If you're going to go and do it, I always think, I can't do it properly. And I'll probably never get a chance to ever be in that position. But that is my ultimate... dream.
Get Sam to get you a motor.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, Sam. Be a drop in the ocean to him.
Hence why I'm friends with him, see?
Yes.
Just hanging around. Do you know what I mean? He'll take out a petty cash.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
He won't notice it.
No. Jesse, our producer, just told us that it's limitless now on your iPhone to go and pay for something.
Yep.
Somebody just bought a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Just take his wrist along. Take his watch off. Just take his watch off.
And
take the watch off, the iPhone watch off, and just go and tap that sucker.
Yeah.
Down at the old Singer factory.
He won't notice.
No, he wouldn't notice. He wouldn't notice.
So here we go. We are going to open up the Mike Brewer garage for you. I have everything in there, including the car that you want, your Singer Porsche.
Yeah.
And it's fair to say, although they are predominantly a selfish man's car, two-seater, you can fundamentally get two very small
people. If I want a couple of hobbits in the back.
If you want to get... If you want to take
purposes.
Frodo
in
the back, you could do.
All right. So basically what we're saying is you can only get one of the crankies in.
Correct. Frodo and a cranky.
You've got to find
Frodo
space
and a cranky.
We'll just pretend that they're
how
big
about
enough.
Nicola Sturgeon and a cranky. Right?
Perfect.
In the back.
Yeah.
Right, so hold on. This is your road trip, not my road trip. So first and foremost, you need to tell me what the car's going to be. So you've got any car out of my Brewer's garage, any car you want on the planet, even a fantasy car, what's it going to be?
It would either be a Singer Porsche or 356 Speedster.
Right, 356B says two-seater.
Yes.
I need you to have a four-seater.
I've got a four-seater. All right, then we'll go with the Porsche and we'll just...
Right, so it's a 964 Porsche 911, turbo, no doubt, and it's a Singer.
Yes.
Right, unbelievable car. Right, straight out of the box, legendary car.
Yeah, nice
right,
car.
Right, who has sat beside you?
Sat beside me. Right, so if we're gonna call that the co-driver.
They've got to be alive. Famous, and they could be fantasy characters or whatever, but you know, you
alive
can't,
or
for
dead,
example,
could be Marilyn Monroe.
Or, you know,
I'm actually going to go with someone fairly simple, just because I think it would be a great road trip with them sat beside me, and I'm going to say Ricky Gervais.
great choice.
Because I just...
Fellow animal lover.
And Ricky Gervais.
That's already a great start.
We do a lot of... he's a big animal advocate for start, but also I just think he's hilarious.
He's hilarious.
And I just
miserable at the same time.
I feel like we'd get on. I feel like it'd be a very miserable but funny, enjoyable experience.
You're the first person we've had that picked Ricky Gervais.
Really?
And I think that's
I'm surprised.
Slam dunk of an answer.
Slam dunk.
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, well done. We've got, well, not the cranky and Nicola Sturgeon in the back. We boot those two out. Who are you going to take in the back of the car?
Two spaces. I'm gonna go with an absolute legend, icon in my eyes and probably a lot of people's eyes, based on his love for cars and bikes, but also probably the coolest man to ever live, Steve McQueen.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
My God, you are.
Put it there.
This is bang on. Yeah. Bang on so far.
And, just because, and a man who loves his Porsche.
Could still go wrong.
A man who loves...
Wait till the next one.
Wait for the next one. Nicola Sturgeon. Right, so now sitting next to Steve
Boris
McQueen.
It's Boris Johnson.
Steve, just because...
Oh, he's cool.
You don't need to explain that. It's Steve McQueen.
Don't explain that.
That's just...
Done.
The next one I'm going to go with, it's a tough one, this. I feel like there's a lot of men in that car.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you need a lady.
Ideally.
Lady
be nice. 100%,
yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you need to get a bit of a flirt on.
So
it just makes things more interesting, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm going to go with Margot Robbie. No, I'm not. I'm going to go Eva Mendes.
Eva Mendes. And I would have got Margot Robbie. I thought was a slam dunk for me.
Margot,
I know, but only because Margot Robbie has dedicated her life to stalking me and finding me and
completely. Yeah, she's always in the bushes outside your house. Yeah,
she's been doing your roof.
Gosh.
Do you know what the worst thing is? That is, I've just thought about it, is actually that would probably be a bad idea, because if she's in the car and Steve McQueen's there, I've got no chance. I'm going to be trying to drive while they're in the back seat. I've got no chance. I'm swapping Ricky. Gervais is going in the back seat, McQueen's going in the front where I can keep my eye on him. But Eva Mendes, I just think, stunning. And also, you know, I've seen a lot of interviews and stuff, and she just seems like a really fun person. She's actually a big car fanatic as well, funny enough.
Right, good.
Let's get her on the show.
Eva Mendes, get in touch. Right, here we go. So you're in the Singer Porsche 911. Sat beside you is Steve McQueen.
Yeah, no,
McQueen's got to be in the front seat, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Because he can't leave...
I might let him
McQueen
drive, to be honest with you, because I imagine he's the best driver. 100%.
With McQueen in the backseat.
No,
I mean,
we can't do that.
Anyway, so Ricky Gervais, Eva Mendes, where are you starting this journey from? It could be anywhere on the planet.
Anywhere on the planet, I would start. How far is this journey?
As long as you want. So you can start in Australia and finish in New York. It doesn't matter.
One thing I've always wanted to do, and I haven't been to America a lot, but I would like to. I would like to do a full road trip across America.
Right, good.
So I would do that, just purely because I've not done it and it always just looks amazing. The terrain's always different and you've all got so many different amazing cities to go through.
Right.
So as boring as that sounds, I would probably do America as a full road trip across. So I would start East Coast and go all the way to the West Coast.
Okay, it's fine. That's fine. Yeah, East Coast to West Coast.
Yeah.
It's a sort of well-trodden path. We've had other people say that, you know, New York to Santa Monica Pier, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you're going to start off on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So let's not choose New York. Let's choose another city. You're going to start Boston, somewhere like that?
Boston would be great.
Boston
would be great. Because, funny enough, I've always wanted to go to Boston.
Cheers.
Boston's very much like England. It's lovely.
I just want to meet the people of Boston because they always seem absolutely
mad. Hey, park the car.
Do you know what I mean? I just feel like it would be... imagine having Ricky Gervais going, what the
is going on here?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so he would be as well. So we're in Boston. We're in the Singer Porsche, which I can't get my head around how good that car is. Steve McQueen, Eva Mendes, Ricky Gervais. Right, you are on the road across America.
Yeah.
What's playing on the radio?
Oh, this is where I'm going to lose her.
This is Megan Lucy
Tremendous.
You know what?
Off.
I got really excited based on the fact that you seem quite happy with my responses
yeah,
so
no,
far.
Yeah, no, really good.
I'm
just
losing
smash
you.
This one. Smash this.
I love.
Don't let us down.
Country music and Motown.
Oh, okay. Really?
That's a real surprise.
What
a
shame. I genuinely thought he was going to say Prince.
Thanks for coming on, Pete. Yeah, appreciate it. We'll see you another time. Yeah.
He was going to go Prince. Dolly. Or he was going to go, you know, Sinatra.
Country music.
But he went country.
Yeah.
Music.
Oh, dear. And is there something you listen to daily?
A bit of Garth Crooks.
Love a bit of Garth
Crooks. Oh, my God. I can't believe your eyes went like dishes. When I said Garth Crooks, your eyes went like saucepans.
Do you know what?
Oh, Garth Crooks. I love Garth Crooks.
If we're in the car, probably Motown, because he's a little bit more upbeat.
Motown's fine.
Yeah, we'll go Motown.
Yeah, we'll do a bit of Motown.
The country is more for relaxing me on the bike.
Okay.
Right. So we'll say the country for the bike, because it's more chilled.
Did you see that?
Yeah, it was a massive reverse.
Full reverse.
I just want to please you. Fair enough. Country. Look, if you want to stick to country music, that's fine.
No, I do.
We have judged you here.
Yeah, you've dropped the country clang.
I
can feel it. The energy in here has dropped significantly.
Do you know what? There's a lot of people that listen to this show in America.
My horse is lame. I have to shoot him.
If you could record that, I'd listen to it. Unhappily. I've got a Harley trip coming up. If I can get you, Mike, to sing that to me, I will happily drive.
Just phone on your drive.
Yeah,
be like,
perfect.
Mike, the one about the horse again.
I've got the Bluetooth. Come on, you sing to me, the one about the horse.
You're going to have to put him down. Come on.
And then saying that, though, Mrs. B, hold on a minute. There was that bloody song that you kept repeatedly playing in the house, country and western song with the rapper dude who sung it.
Yes, I love that song.
Yeah. The Old Town Road.
Take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm going to ride till I ride no more. He played that song, good song. It wore out in my house.
Yeah, it changed his life, that song.
Well, it's changed my life as well, because it's got an earworm.
We just had a bit of a duet with you two.
Yeah,
that was great.
We love that song.
We harmonised against each other.
You know what? This would be perfect for my podcast. I'm relevant.
I
went on a podcast, I recorded an album with Mike. This is great.
This is happening.
Right,
okay, so let's think where we are. We're halfway across America. Obviously, we're down by Nashville at this point because you'd have
to go. I'd love to go to Nashville.
Through Nashville.
Yeah, go into the Bluebirds.
But strangely, as we go through Nashville, got Motown playing on the radio.
Yeah, I don't know. But that seems wrong, Ricky Gervais
in the back seat with Eva Mendes.
It's getting hungry.
Steve McQueen is up front. What's the treats? Right, so, Michelle.
What would you take, on your journey? What's your treat?
What's your snack? I love savoury things. I'd have wasabi peas.
I kind of like wasabi peas. They're like a pea that hurts.
Yes, exactly.
Right, so it's spicy food.
Like spicy.
It's a little bit of a urine infection, a pea that hurts.
You're spicy. I love spicy.
See, I get excited by food like that. It's like Toblerone. You can't eat one without breaking the jaw.
Yeah, you just
keep going. You know, it's spiteful food, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very good. I like it. Right, okay. So we've got the wasabi. We do approve.
I'll bring it back slightly.
Now we need to go West Coast, so we need your destination point. Can you put a pin in somewhere on the West Coast you'd like to go to? LA, San Fran, Seattle?
To be honest with you, this is quite a boring response, but it would have to be like LA way, because I've been to LA a few times and it is great over there.
However,
it's the worst traffic ever in the world.
Yeah, we lived there for 6 years.
It's just awful.
Nightmare. And they drive like maniacs, honestly, one of the worst places I've ever been for traffic.
In terms of, and I was riding a bike out there as well, and it was just, even trying to filter is just because people are just nuts.
They don't indicate, do they?
No.
Right, so if you're going to say LA, it's going to be either Manhattan or Santa Monica Beach. It's going to be one of those, isn't it, you're going to end up in?
Basically, because the view in my head is that when we finally get there, we're all on the beach having a beer. You know what I mean? Just
you want beach, you don't want pier, so you want to be Manhattan Beach, or you want to be down by Huntington Beach or Newport Beach.
Yeah, exactly. Just sitting there doing the whole sunset thing, having a beer, chilling out. Then me and Eva go back to the room and leave Stephen.
Get some country music on.
I get the flirt on. Do you know what I mean? We have a great night. We meet them back for breakfast. The whole gentleman never tells.
Ricky and Steve are looking a bit sheepish as well.
Ricky and Steve are hugging, and they're like, there's obviously something's gone on. No one's talking about it. It makes the journey back really awkward for everyone.
Talking about the journey back, as you come out of that hotel in the morning, you're pressing the fob on the key for your singer Porsche, and guess what?
Yeah.
It's not there. Somebody's taken it. the
same people that took the range.
I imagine
so.
Yeah.
The loan is up.
Right.
But remarkably, this car park is now full of every iconic motorbike on the planet.
Oh.
And get this. You can take one of your three passengers.
Just one.
I wonder
on
who.
The back. Just one. So who would you drop? Who would you take back? And what bike's it going to be?
This is going to surprise you.
Go.
Oh.
So you're going to assume I'd take Eva Mendes.
Of course. Yeah.
No, you did spend an arm.
We've already had a great night.
Yeah.
You know, I can't be too keen.
No.
So I'm just going to say, right. Listen.
It's almost a bit awkward.
I'll tell you what, Eva, me and Steve are going to have a great
a moment
time together. And listen, if I'm going with Steve McQueen, I've got a Bonneville myself. You've got to go with a Bonneville, I think, with
That's
Steve
fantastic.
McQueen. It's got to be Triumph.
So Triumph, Bonneville, Steve McQueen.
Wow.
Yes, and I think that was just because I'd happily go Pillion for that one and let Steve take over. We'd do Legs of the Journey
Nothing
together.
Like a bit of a cuddle.
Do you know what I mean? I'll happily big spoon Steve McQueen on the back. I think really for the people you've got there and for, you know, the fact that I've got a Bonneville and the fact that I would love to, that's what I would do, I think.
Do you know
Sounds
that's been
great.
A real surprise to me. That whole adventure has been a real surprise.
Yeah, I love it.
Not only that, you are a real surprise yourself because you're one of the people that doesn't want to be famous, but you're the most famous, nicest person I think I've met. You're just such a lovely guy. You do so much good for the world as well, and may you continue to do that. For us, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on this podcast, and we really appreciate you giving up your time. It's a real insight into you, your likes, your loves, your hates, and we got that on that little road trip, and it's absolutely phenomenal. Andy Edgar was that.
That was super.
I loved it.
Pete, thank you very much.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I don't want to stop.
So, Pete, before you go, where can people find you? I know you don't want to be famous, but it's just happening anyway.
Yeah.
So where can people find you on all your forms of social media and talk about where the link for the podcast
is? So, Staying Relevant Podcast, which is available on all platforms. You just got to type in Staying Relevant Podcast. And we come out on YouTube every Friday as well. We've got all extra bits. My Instagram is p_wick01. And I don't actually have any other social media because I hate it.
Which is very sensible. Me
too. Yeah, I don't have anything else.
I'm swamped by it. And if you want to find me being swamped by social media, I'm Mike Brewer on Twitter and Instagram, and Wheeler Dealer on Facebook. Mrs. Brewer,
you follow me.
Mrs. M. Brewer on Twitter and Instagram. Andy
don't
J.
Don't follow Andy. Andy don't
J.
Follow
is
Andy.
On
not
Twitter us. And Instagram.
No, follow me.
So go and follow us. And please, 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 if you have missed any of our podcasts, don't forget we've got some amazing guests we've had in the past. You can go and find those podcasts. We've had a Richard Hammond, a Richard Rawlings. I'm going through these. Beverly Knight, a David Gandy,
Matt Goss,
James
Lance.
Oh, we've had some belters,
YouTuber,
haven't we? Tavarish.
Keep up.
It was great.
Absolutely amazing guests. And don't forget our automotive alphabet.
Yep, we are here every other week where the three of us just basically talk. Pick a letter and kind of go for it, which is not the same, really. L is not necessary for Lotus, is it? We kind of disappear in down massive rabbit holes.
We get a bit lost.
It's great
we
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, L is for lost.
But for this podcast, it's been absolutely fantastic. Please put your hand together for Pete Wicks.
Thank you.
Well done, Pete. Thank you very much. Make sure that you like, subscribe, follow, whatever you need to do to keep this podcast in your inbox. And we'll keep bringing it to you if you keep listening to it.
Yeah, ratings and reviews would always be lovely, provided they're 5 stars and nice, friendly ones. Otherwise, we're not big fans. We like the nice ones, don't we? It's been a TBI Media production. Thank you for your company. Back next week. Toodaloo.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Thanks for listening and for being a passenger on the Wheeler Dealer podcast. It was brought to you by Guardex Group, the ultimate vehicle protection solutions provider. Whether you're buying your next car or an automotive dealer, go with Guardex. Visit guardexgroup.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.